Here we go with the reading of today's Wall Street Journal for this Wednesday, the 18th of February, 2026. With the Wall Street Journal today, we say hello to George and Steve.
Thank you, John Shea, and welcome. It's our great pleasure to read for you this morning. We'll begin with the What's News column. These are news briefs that appear on the far left side of the front page of the journal. And we'll get to probably all of these in detail as we move through the paper today. Warner Brothers Discovery said it would restart deal talks with Paramount, setting the stage for a potential bidding war with its preferred suitor, Netflix. I think this is going to go on forever.
Yeah.
Tech stocks interrupted their recent slide, helping lift the S&P 500. Dow and NASDAQ all by 0.1%. Eric Trump is investing in Israeli drone maker Extend, that's capital X, T-E-N-D, all one word, a company that has a multi-million dollar contract with the Defense Department his father oversees. Genuine Parts, the big owner of Napa Auto Care Center, said it plans to separate its auto and industrial parts units to create two distinct public companies. ByteDance has developed an AI model that can turn a single text prompt into a high-quality video with a storyline, scene changes, and distinctive characters. Infosys, it's I-N-F-O-S-Y-S, the name of the company, agreed to work with Anthropic to develop and deliver artificial intelligence services to businesses and complex regulated industries. An appeals court rejected Kalshi's emergency bid to halt Nevada's push to block the prediction market platform from offering contracts on sports and other events in the state. Danaher struck a deal to acquire California-based medical device maker Masimo for almost $10 billion, the company said. And finally, at Buffalo Wild Wings, a boneless chicken wing doesn't need to come from a wing. I'll read that again. A boneless chicken wing doesn't need to come from a wing, a judge ruled, saying that a suit claiming deceptive wording, quote, this is great. The judge said, quoting now, had the deceptive wording had, quote, no meat on its bones, end quote. Good morning, Steve. I hope you can top that.
I don't know. I'm done with boneless chicken wings, evidently. Amazon stocks inched higher as NVIDIA and Amazon lead tech recovery. Article by David Uberti. Tech stocks paused their recent slide, helping major indexes to eke out minor gains. Artificial intelligence stocks fell sharply after the opening bell, putting an exchange-traded fund linked to the Magnificent Seven on track for its lowest close since September. But NVIDIA and Amazon.com clawed back their early losses to finish the day in the green. Investors in recent weeks have seesawed between concerns that the AI trade has run its course and fears the technology could disrupt industries ranging from software to financial data to trucking. But there have been moments during this week-long sell-off, including Tuesday afternoon, where investors took the opportunity to revisit some of the market's largest stocks at a lower price. It is likely that we will look back on the current volatility as a buying opportunity, though it's difficult to estimate when the volatility will be behind us, said Louis Navalier, chief investment officer at Navalier & Associates, told clients. The NASDAQ Composite and S&P 500 indexes each rose 0.1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average also inched 0.1% higher, adding 32 points. U.S. stock markets were closed on Monday, President's Day. A rally in U.S. government debt also paused, leaving the 10-year Treasury yield to settle at 4.053%. At the same time, federal data suggests the U.S. economy continues to muscle ahead despite a low-fire job market, clouding the outlook for Federal Reserve interest rate policy. Based on current conditions and the data in hand, it will likely be appropriate to hold rates steady for some time as we assess incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks, Fed Governor Michael Barr said in his speech Tuesday. In individual stocks, Norwegian Cruise Line jumped 12%, following a Wall Street Journal report that activist Elliott Management has built a more than 10% stake in the struggling cruise ship operator. Shares in General Mills slid 7% after the Cheerios maker lowered its sales and profit outlook. Inflation, cuts to government benefits, and more have led to significant consumer stress, especially for the middle and lower income groups, General Mills Chief Executive Jeff Hamerning said at a conference in New York. Paramount stock jumped 4.9% after Warner Brothers Discovery said it would restart deal talks, setting the stage for a potential bidding war with its preferred suitor, Netflix. Warner shares rose 2.7%, while Netflix inched 0.2% higher. Energy companies weighed on major indexes thanks to a 0.9% retreat in benchmark U.S. crude futures to $62.33 a barrel. Gold and silver, which have recently traded like meme stocks, similarly declined. Front month, gold futures fell 2.8% Tuesday to $4,882.90 a troy ounce. Silver futures dropped 5.7% to $73.45 a troy ounce. And before we turn it back to George, let's move to the stock spotlight column. TripAdvisor. Starboard Value plans to push for a shakeup of its travel site operators board. The Wall Street Journal reported the stock surged 9.7%. Norwegian Cruise Line. Activist Elliott Management has built a more than 10% stake in the cruise ship operator and plans to push for changes to turn it around, the Journal reported. The stock rallied 12.2%. Gemini Space Station. The cryptocurrency exchange said it will part ways with three top executives. Its share sank 12.9%. Genuine Parts, the owner of Napa Auto Care Centers, swung to a quarterly loss and said it plans to separate its auto parts business from its industrial parts unit. Shares closed down 15%. JFB Construction, Eric Trump, the president's son, will take Israeli drone maker Extend public through a merger with a small Florida construction company. JFB shares slid 43%. Zim, Integrated Shipping. Shipping company Hapag-Lloyd is buying its Israeli competitor for $4.2 billion. Zim's U.S.-listed shares surged 25%. And in Wednesday's events, industrial production and capacity utilization for January and new residential construction for November and December. George.
Thanks, Steve. Warner in shift reopens talks with Paramount. After sweetened bid, board sets deadline for, quote, best and final offer. It's run by Joe Flynn. Warner Brothers Discovery said Tuesday it will restart deal talks with Paramount, setting the stage for a potential bidding war with its preferred suitor, Netflix. The move comes after Paramount last week sweetened its all-cash $77.9 billion hostile offer for all of Warner Discovery, including its cable channels CNN and TNT. Warner said Paramount has indicated it would be willing to up its offer to $31 per Warner share from $30 if Warner would agree to engage in negotiations. The price increase wasn't part of Paramount's latest amended tender offer for the company. Warner's willingness to engage with Paramount is the latest stakes-raising plot twist in a months-long takeover battle for the home of some of the entertainment industry's most important properties and brands, including HBO, Superman, and Harry Potter. Netflix has an agreement in place to acquire Warner's movie and TV studios and HBO Max streaming service in an all-cash deal, which is valued at $72 billion. Netflix has the right to match any offer Warner accepts from another bidder. Netflix said in a statement that it believes its offer remains superior, but has granted Warner a 7-day waiver of certain obligations of their merger agreement to engage with Paramount to, quote, fully and finally resolve this matter. We have the only signed board-recommended agreement with Warner, the streaming giant said. Warner shares rose nearly 3%. And Paramount shares increased nearly 5%, while Netflix shares were flat. Paramount said it was prepared to engage with Warner in good faith, but called the Warner board's actions, quote, unusual, and reiterated its belief that its offer is already superior to Netflix's. Paramount said it should have a, quote, unfettered right to negotiate without a time deadline. In its latest offer, Paramount said it would pay the $2.8 billion termination fee Warner would owe Netflix if that deal collapsed. Paramount said it would add a ticking, quote, ticking fee, end quote, of 25 cents a share, which it would pay to Warner shareholders for each quarter its deal hasn't closed starting in January 2027. In a letter to Paramount Board of Directors reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, Warner said Netflix agreed to allow it to discuss Paramount's latest proposal during a negotiating period that will end on February 23rd. Warner said it is the board's understanding that Paramount's final offer will be higher than $31 a share. The letter said the potential higher per share price was communicated orally to a Warner board member by a senior representative on behalf of Paramount. Warner Discovery Chief Executive David Zaslav said in a statement that the company's engaging with Paramount, quote, to determine whether they can deliver an actionable, binding proposal that provides superior value and certainty for WBD shareholders through their best and final offer. Warner hasn't said what price it is seeking from Paramount. Analysts from Raymond James wrote in a recent note to clients that many Warner shareholders still expect Paramount to raise its $30 a share bid by $2 to $3 a share. At the same time, Warner said it still favors Netflix's offer. Warner said it set March 20th for a shareholder vote on that deal, which was reached in December. We continue to believe that Netflix's merger is in the best interest of WBD shareholders due to the tremendous value it provides, our clear path to achieve regulatory approval, and the transaction's protections for shareholders against downside risk, Warner Chairman Samuel A. DiPiazza Jr. said. Warner remains doubtful that Paramount can make an offer that surpasses Netflix, people close to the company said. There are still concerns that the amount of debt Paramount would be taking on could hinder its ability to close the deal, the people said. Other concerns include covenants in Paramount's offer that Warner said are overbearing and would hurt its ability to operate the company prior to a deal closing. Netflix has no such covenants seeking approval on business matters prior to the deal closing, Warner said. Paramount made several unsolicited offers for Warner Discovery last year, leading the company to put itself up for sale. Paramount has continued to make offers for Warner to thwart Netflix's deal, arguing that its proposal is better, in part, because it wants the entire company. Netflix isn't buying the Warner-owned cable networks, which Warner plans to spin off into a new company called Discovery Global this spring. Paramount's leadership also accused Warner of running an unfair bidding process to favor Netflix and frequently expressed frustration that its series of offers were rejected with minimal engagement between the two companies. Netflix on Tuesday called Paramount's, quote, antics in the bidding process a, quote, ongoing distraction for Warner shareholders. Last week, Cleveland-based investor Ancora Holdings acquired a small stake in Warner in an effort to pressure the company to negotiate with Paramount. The Justice Department is scrutinizing both Netflix's signed deal with Warner and Paramount's proposed acquisition as part of its investigation. The Justice Department is looking into whether Netflix has engaged in anti-competitive practices, the journal reported. Netflix lawyer Steven Sunshine has disputed that, saying the company thinks the department is conducting a standard review of its proposal for the Warner Studios and HBO Max. U.S. oil output is strong despite very low prices. It's written by Benoit Marin, Midland County, Texas, perched in the control room of a Chevron rig. An operator steered a drilling bit thousands of feet under the arid surface of the Permian Basin. As he did so, he received real-time directions from a specialist in Houston, some 477 miles away. Remote monitoring and other feats of technology that have become mainstream are among the clues that help explain why U.S. oil production has, thus far, defied predictions that it would decline in conjunction with the lowest crude prices since the pandemic. As U.S. oil prices dropped below $60 a barrel in recent months, the industry shed rigs by the dozens and laid off crews that frack wells. Yet the country's wells last year gushed a record 13.6 million barrels of crude on average each day, 100,000 barrels more than the Energy Information Administration, the federal forecaster, had anticipated before President Trump's inauguration. The disconnect between slackening activity and the increasing yield has mystified even oil chieftains. I've been wrong, said Kays Vanthoft, chief executive of Permian producer Diamondback Energy. I thought we'd be down by now. Executives credit the outperformance in part to companies' engineering prowess and the changing makeup of the industry. Oil giants now have a bigger share of crude production in their hands and are largely impervious to price swings, ensuring a steady output. Among other field enhancements, these companies now routinely drill wells that extend over 4 miles and allow them to collect more crude at a lower cost. The industry's resourcefulness has been a boon to Trump. He has touted soaring production and low prices at the pump as the issue of affordability takes on urgency in his administration. A gallon of regular unleaded gasoline cost $2.92 on average in the U.S. on Tuesday, according to AAA. Down 24 cents from a year ago, the declining prices helped slow inflation to 2.4% in January. Steve.
And from the U.S. news section of today's Wall Street Journal, U.S. sees $36 billion investment by Japan. Article by Meredith McGraw and Gavin Bade. Washington. Japan is planning roughly $36 billion in U.S. investment spanning critical minerals, oil and gas infrastructure, and power generation as part of a $550 billion strategic trade and investment agreement, according to Commerce Department officials. Our massive trade deal with Japan has just launched, President Trump posted on social media on Tuesday. The projects represent the first set of investments under the U.S.-Japan agreement announced last year, Trump said in his post. Part of our historic trade deal to revitalize the American industrial base, create hundreds of thousands of great American jobs, and strengthen our national economic security like never before. The largest project is a $33 billion gas-fired power generation facility in Portsmouth, Ohio, expected to produce 9.2 gigawatts of electricity, making it one of the biggest power projects ever announced in the U.S. The facility will be led by SB Energy, a subsidiary of SoftBank, officials said. Japan also is investing just over $2 billion in a deep-water crude oil export facility on the Texas Gulf Coast, led by Sentinel Midstream. Commerce officials said the terminal would provide an important new pathway for U.S. crude exports. Commerce officials said profits from the projects will be shared 50-50 until Japan's initial investment is recouped, after which profits will be split 90-10 in favor of the U.S. George.
Health CEO made industry side bets. United Health's Stephen Hemsley took unannounced stakes in startups. It's run by Mark Mermont and Anna Wild Matthews. Stephen Hemsley, leader of giant United Health Group, for years has made private investments in healthcare startups, including firms that do business with or compete against United Health. The investments involving tens of millions of dollars and stretching back at least 7 years weren't announced by the healthcare companies that he was investing in, and United Health never told its shareholders about them. Hemsley, 73, has been a dominant force at United Health for the past 2 decades. He began a second stint as the chief executive last May, returning to help stabilize the finances of the behemoth he helped build. He previously served for more than a decade as CEO, then as chairman since 2017. In 2019, while he was United Health board chairman, Hemsley founded an investment firm, Cloverfields Capital Group LP, which is registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission as an investment advisor. Cloverfields, which he still owns, has said in filings that it invests in publicly held companies such as elevator maker Otis Worldwide. But Cloverfields has a less visible side. The Wall Street Journal found Cloverfields Capital and its entities affiliated with it have bought stakes in privately held healthcare startups. The investment targets spanned a range of healthcare interests, from a vaccine administration firm that did business with United Health to a provider of digital health services that offer a product that competes with it. Private investments involving United Health's chief create the potential for conflicts of interest, ethics specialists said. Nearly every company in healthcare touches the business of United Health, a $450 billion health conglomerate that owns the nation's largest insurer, a sprawling network of doctor groups, technology and healthcare services units, and a pharmacy benefits manager. UnitedHealth said Hemsley abides by all of its disclosure and conflict of interest policies. Board members of large public companies sometimes hold private investments in other companies in the same industries, particularly in the technology sector. Ethics experts said such conflicts can often be managed, typically through disclosure to and approval by fellow directors, and that some companies voluntarily disclose them to shareholders to ensure transparency. UnitedHealth rival Humana, for example, has long disclosed board chairman Kurt Hilsinger's role at a private equity firm that invests in healthcare companies. That firm publicly lists the names of the healthcare companies in which it has invested. In response to questions from the journal, UnitedHealth said Cloverfields is a family office as well as an investment advisor, and that Hemsley maintains a diversified portfolio of public and private investments, some of which are in the healthcare sector. In the, quote, vast majority of cases, the company said he owns 5% or less of these healthcare companies, and he doesn't have a controlling interest in any of them. After Hemsley resumed his CEO role last May, the company said he transferred all of his personal ownership interests in healthcare-related companies to a newly established trust and recused himself from corporate decisions related to those interests. It said Hemsley is prohibited from participating in decisions made by the trust's independent trustees, which, quote, aligns with established models for avoiding potential conflicts of interest. Steve.
Goolsbee says future cuts tied to inflation path. Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee continued to express his view that policymakers could make several more rate cuts if inflation shows it is headed back to the Fed's 2% target. Consumer prices rose 2.4% in January from a year earlier, cooler than December's 2.7% increase. Meanwhile, the U.S. economy added a surprising 130,000 jobs in January, while the unemployment rate ticked down slightly to 4.3%. We saw some progress, but we saw some warning. I want to get some more information, he said in an interview on CNBC Tuesday. Part of Goolsbee's caution was that services inflation isn't tamed, and core inflation, which he says is a steadier measure of price increases, came in at around a 3.6% annual rate. With regard to the tariff impact, Goolsbee said his hope is that the price increases were temporary. If tariff-related price increases are transitory, and inflation seems to be coming down to the Fed's 2% target, he said there was room for several more rate cuts. On President Trump's new pick for Fed Chair Kevin Warsh, Goolsbee praised his experience with him in 2009 and 2010 when he was on the Council of Economic Advisers, and Warsh was at the central bank during the financial crisis. I think he's a reputable guy, and I look forward to working with him, he said. George.
Eric Trump invests in Israeli drone maker. It's written by David Uberti. Eric Trump is pouring money into a sector that is a growing focus of the Pentagon. His father oversees drones. President's son is investing in Israeli drone maker Extend as part of a $1.5 billion deal to take the company public through a merger with a small Florida construction company. Battle-tested during Israeli operations in Gaza in recent years, Extend markets some of its drones as, quote, low-cost-per-kill munitions that align with U.S. defense directives to help wage modern warfare. The company, which opened a facility in Florida, said it has already secured a multi-million-dollar Pentagon contract and is part of a continuing Defense Department competition for new suppliers. By combining with JFB Construction, we are acquiring the resources we need to scale our manufacturing capabilities in the U.S. and gaining access to the U.S. public markets, Extend Chief Executive Aviv Shapira said. Trump is a strategic investor in the deal, which includes a private placement. So is Unusual Machines, a separate drone company in which Donald Trump Jr. is an investor and advisor. The merger marks the latest expansion of the First Family's business empire since President Trump was reelected, including into many sectors the Trump administration regulates. New ventures stretching from cryptocurrency to nuclear fusion energy to manufacturing, which have generated billions of dollars in proceeds and paper wealth for the family, renewed conflict of interest claims that the White House and Trump Organization have denied. The Extend deal culminates a series of transactions over months. Dominari Holdings, a Trump Tower-based financial firm, organized a $44 million private placement last year into JFB Construction, a Florida-based contractor whose recently publicized work includes plans to redevelop a hotel and expand a public high school. The publicly traded company's shares had skyrocketed since the investment was announced before plunging Tuesday by 43%. Extend intends to go public through JFB's NASDAQ listing. Stifel advised the Israeli firm. Also on Tuesday, JFB said in a securities filing that it appointed Stefan Passantino, a former White House lawyer who has worked with the Trump administration, to its board of directors. Drones have become more ubiquitous in modern warfare as a tool for overwhelming air defenses and striking ground forces on the cheap. In Russia's war on Ukraine, drone-on-drone fights have added another dimension to the battlefield, with Moscow's forces often relying on vehicles designed in Iran. Extend is among the companies trying to capitalize on the U.S. and its allies' push to keep up. After Hamas's October 7, 2023 massacre of Israelis sparked a bloody war in Gaza, Extend Shapira told the Wall Street Journal that his firm's products helped Israeli forces map out terrain, explore inside buildings, and take out booby traps around Hamas underground tunnel network. Steve.
And from the business and finance section, Berkshire sells BOFA and Apple. In Buffett's last quarter as CEO, firm added new position in New York Times. Article by Crystal Herr. Berkshire Hathaway sold shares in Bank of America and Apple and added a new position in the New York Times during Warren Buffett's last few months as chief executive. The Omaha, Nebraska company disclosed its stock holdings in a regulatory filing Tuesday afternoon. Berkshire shed about 50.8 million shares of Bank of America during the December quarter. The conglomerate also sold 10.3 million shares of Apple, marking the third straight period it reduced its stake in the iPhone maker. The company purchased 5.1 million shares of the New York Times, the media company which has expanded beyond its core news operation to games, recipes, and other digital offerings, rose 2.7% in after-hours trading. Berkshire, which has had a history in media stocks, sold its newspapers to publisher Lee Enterprises for $140 million in 2020. Shareholders at the time viewed it as a sign that Buffett viewed his newspaper businesses, which included publications such as the Buffalo News, Tulsa World in Oklahoma, and Richmond Times-Dispatch in Virginia, as unsustainable. Greg Abel, Buffett's hand-picked successor, became CEO at the beginning of this year, inheriting a sprawling investment portfolio and a collection of subsidiary companies ranging from insurance to railroads to running shoes. Berkshire's full-year results, along with Abel's first annual letter to shareholders, are due February 28th. Berkshire also sold 7.7 million shares of Amazon.com, slashing its stake in the e-commerce giant by 77%. Berkshire left unchanged its holdings in Kraft Heinz. Abel said recently that he favors Kraft Heinz's decision to pause work on splitting its condiment and grocery staples business. In January, Kraft flagged in a regulatory filing that Berkshire, its biggest stockholder, could sell nearly all of its 325.6 million shares of the food company. Buffett told the Wall Street Journal last year that Berkshire doesn't support the split. American Express, Apple, Bank of America, Coca-Cola, and Chevron have been Berkshire's largest U.S. stock holdings. News Corp, owner of the Journal, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Apple services. The Journal competes with the New York Times. Institutional investors managing at least $100 million in U.S. stocks and certain other equities must disclose their holdings at the end of each quarter in Form 13F filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Form 13Fs provide an outdated look at stock portfolios because investors have 45 days to submit the filings. Still, Berkshire's disclosures are widely parsed by market participants seeking insight into the decisions made by Buffett and his investing deputies. One of his stock pickers, Todd Combs, left Berkshire in December for a role at J.P. Morgan Chase. Berkshire Class B shares have risen 0.2% this year, edging out the S&P 500's near-flat performance. George.
Napa owner plans to split into two. It's run by Lauren Thomas. Genuine Parts, the big owner of Napa Auto Care Centers, said Tuesday it plans to separate its auto and industrial parts units to create two separate public companies. The split is a culmination of a review the Atlanta-based company has been undergoing with financial advisors. The breakup is part of a bid to allow each unit to better execute and grow in their respective markets, Genuine Parts said. It will give the two businesses more flexibility to make big investments to accelerate growth. Investors have recently been favoring breakups across a range of industries to create more streamlined businesses. Faster-growing units within larger businesses can get weighed down by other divisions or as strategic plans for different units start to diverge. Genuine Parts has a market value of more than $20 billion. Founded in 1928, the firm is a major player in automotive and industrial parts and has around 10,800 locations spanning 17 countries. Company's automotive business is the biggest network of auto parts and auto care repair centers globally, operating under banners including NAPA, N-A-P-A. The company's industrial business operates under the Motion brand and supplies millions of parts across industries that keep industrial machinery running. The auto parts business generated more than $15 billion in sales in 2025, while the industrial unit brought in roughly $9 billion in revenue. Investors see tailwinds, including aging vehicles and machinery, which bode well for demand for replacement parts and repair services. The industrial segment could benefit from a focus on reinvesting in American infrastructure under the Trump administration. Genuine Parts shares had risen roughly 20% year-to-date through Friday. The stock declined 15% on Tuesday after the company announced disappointing quarterly results in tandem with the breakup news. Sales and profits in the fourth quarter came in short of expectations. Chief Executive Will Stengel has been in the role since June 2024 with a focus on boosting profitability. Stengel said Tuesday that the company is focusing on what it can control in a, quote, dynamic environment. Last fall, Genuine Parts added new directors to its board following a cooperation agreement with activist Elliott Investment Management. Elliott said at the time that it was one of Genuine Parts' largest shareholders and its share price didn't reflect the full value of its two businesses. Steve.
How Congress plans to solve the nation's housing shortage. Capitol Hill looks at easier loan access, modular units, and pressure on cities. Article by Rebecca Pisciotti. The House and Senate recently passed their first significant bills in decades aimed at solving America's housing shortage. Now the two chambers will work on fine-tuning and reconciling both bills into one proposal and sending it to President Trump's desk. Here are the bill's top priorities. Nudge cities to build. State and local regulations typically have more sway over how many homes get built. The Senate bill authorizes a program in which certain cities behind in housing production could have some of their federal funding transferred to cities that are building more. Both the Senate and House bills direct the federal government to establish best zoning practices for state and local leaders, though city officials can ignore them if they want. Environmental reviews. Both the House and Senate are aiming to simplify the federal government's environmental review process, and they offer new exemptions for some housing projects like ones built in urban areas that are already developed. California and New York, both states with acute housing crisis, have already pursued their own reforms. Only a small portion of housing developments are actually subject to federal environmental reviews. What matters more, economists say, is the signal it sends to cities and towns. This is a blueprint for states and localities to also reduce red tape, said Libby Cantrell, head of public policy at PIMCO. Manufactured homes. Builders say manufactured and modular homes are quicker and cheaper to produce. Think building with Lego blocks, but instead of toys, it's full-size homes. Still, wider adoption has been limited in part by outdated building code requirements and fewer financing options. The House and Senate bills both try to make it easier to build manufactured housing. They eliminate the permanent chassis requirement, which builders have been groaning about for years. A chassis is a structure under factory-built homes that allow them to move from place to place. It can cost thousands of dollars to add. Builders say that the extra cost is no longer worth it because these days, manufactured homes often stay put. The Senate bill also increases loan limits for manufactured homes to make them easier to finance. Mortgage access. Both housing packages include efforts to help Americans secure mortgages. The bills direct federal agencies to expand access to small-dollar mortgages, home loans that are generally less than $150,000. They tend to be less profitable for lenders, but they can help first-time and low-income home buyers get into the market. They would also create a pilot program for select low-income families who receive federal rental assistance through public housing authorities to feed a portion of their rent payments into a savings account when their income increases. To some analysts, mortgage access is where the federal government can have a real impact on housing affordability because it controls the government-backed mortgage companies. George.
Office building defaults rise as lenders get tough. This is written by Peter Grant. Lenders to commercial real estate owners are reaching the breaking point, calling in tens of billions of dollars of troubled loans. Refinancing property debt has become difficult since interest rates started to soar in 2022. Many lenders initially extended maturing loans they made when borrowing costs were far lower, hoping that either interest rates would fall or that cash flows would grow. It is a strategy known as extend and pretend. Now many lenders have stopped pretending, and the default rate is surging. The delinquency rate for office loans in commercial mortgage-backed securities climbed to a record 12.34% in January, the highest level since TREP began tracking in 2000. The end of this forbearance reflects how lenders have made two determinations. For one, they are betting that mortgage rates aren't going back to the historic low levels seen during the pandemic. Lenders to office owners in particular are also concluding that the decline in property values and cash flow aren't simply a response to the economic cycle. Rather, creditors increasingly believe that structural changes around the workplace and hybrid work have permanently reduced demand for most office space. The shift comes as the volumes of distressed commercial real estate debt has climbed to levels not seen since the aftermath of the 2008-2009 financial crisis. More than half of the roughly $100 billion of commercial real estate loans packaged into securities and coming due this year are unlikely to repay at maturity, according to a January report by Morningstar DBRS. That compares with a maturity payoff rate of about 75% in 2024 and 2025, and more than 80% in 2023. Some of these loans ultimately will be modified and repaid, but a growing number are headed toward foreclosure or liquidation. One such case of a problem loan is the $515 million mortgage on the upper portion of the former New York Times headquarters building in Midtown Manhattan. The owner, Brookfield Asset Management, has extended the loan five times since 2020. The debt was transferred to a special servicer late last year after passing its maturity date without repayment, and the property prepares to lose one of its largest tenants. We're taking the first step in opening a structured, good faith dialogue with our lenders, a Brookfield spokesman said. The effects of these stalled loans extend beyond lenders and owners. Properties caught in limbo often go without the capital needed for maintenance, upgrades, and leasing, weighing on tenants and surrounding neighborhoods. Many downtowns, including those of St. Louis, Portland, Oregon, San Diego, and Dallas, are also struggling as so-called zombie office buildings drag on surrounding areas. I don't think we're through it at all, said Alex Killick, a senior managing director at CW Asset Management, a firm that works with troubled property debt. There's plenty more to come. Steve?
Novo Nordisk's Wegovy shot approved at higher dose in EU. Article by Dominic Shopping. Novo Nordisk received final approval for a higher dose of its Wegovy weight loss shot from the European Commission. Approval of the higher 7.2 milligram dose of Wegovy means that doctors in the EU can now prescribe three 2.4 milligram injections in one sitting, once a week. This gives doctors another option to help adults who need more weight loss after being on the 2.4 milligram dose, the Danish drug maker said. The decision announced on Tuesday means that adults with obesity in all 27 European countries can now take the 2.4 milligram dose of Wegovy for at least 4 weeks and then move up to the 7.2 milligrams if they need greater weight loss, Novo Nordisk said. In a study of adults with obesity but without diabetes, patients taking a 7.2 milligram dose of Wegovy over about a year and a half lost 21% of their body weight on average, while one in three people lost 25% or more of their body weight. The EU decision follows approval of the higher dose by British authorities last month, when regulatory applications are pending with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and several other countries. Novo Nordisk has applied for approval of 7.2 milligram single-dose pen in the EU, and if approved, it could be available this year. George.
General Mills lowers its outlook. It's written by Nicholas G. Miller. General Mills lowered its sales and profit outlook for the fiscal year as stressed consumers are buying fewer snacks and looking for more promotions. Weak consumer sentiment, heightened uncertainty, and significant volatility have weighed on category growth and impacted consumer purchase patterns, resulting in a slower pace and higher cost of volume recovery than initially expected, the maker of Cheerios and Pillsbury said. Chief Executive Jeff Harmening said at the Consumer Analyst Group of New York conference that inflation, SNAP benefits, those are food stamps, what used to be called food stamps, SNAP benefits, reductions, and geopolitical uncertainty have led to significant consumer stress, especially for the middle and lower income groups. That has driven lower than expected growth, particularly for cereal, snacks, and dog food. Harmening said the company is also, quote, seeing financially stressed consumers buying more of their product on promotion, leading to a more costly sales mix. We see a heightened focus on value, particularly for middle and lower income consumers. Cost of living and housing pressures are reshaping spending patterns, and value is a core expectation that is here to stay, Harmening said. Shares closed down 7% at $44.96 a share. General Mills now expects organic net sales to be down 1.5% to 2% for the year, compared with its previous forecast of down 1% to up 1%. The food company also guided for adjusted earnings per share to fall 16 to 20% in constant currency. It had previously guided for a decline of 10 to 15%. The company said it is giving priority to product innovation, including for new protein-focused offerings, and expects a 25% increase in net sales from new products in 2026. Anti-obesity drugs will have a lasting influence on the food market, nudging some consumers toward smaller portions and more nutrient-dense protein and fiber-forward foods, Harmening said. General Mills has cut prices across two-thirds of its North America segment's portfolio, a decision the company said is now leading to higher sales volume. The price cuts allowed the company to get below key price cliff and narrow gaps to the competition, said Dana McNabb, president of the North America retail segment. McNabb said that 90% of the business has had pricing elasticity at or ahead of expectations. Steve.
Walmart's shares are expensive AI insurance. Walmart is in an enviable position, and so are its investors. They should consider taking some gains. That isn't because they are worrying signs about the world's largest retailer ahead of its full-year financial results on Thursday. The company is firing on all cylinders, with same-store sales growth vastly better than at its old rival Target and most other competitors. There is a decent chance analysts will applaud, just like they did back in November when management beat expectations and raised guidance. To get a better feel for Walmart, though, a single quarter's results aren't that instructive. Investors need to zoom out, way out. A great company only can be a great investment up to a point. In addition to its impressive financial results, Walmart's valuation has gotten a lift from the company's perceived resilience to the things that keep investors up at night these days: tariff turmoil, squeezed middle-class households, and fears that artificial intelligence will devour everything in its path. The company's stores and online offerings have attracted wealthier shoppers and gained market share among its traditional customers. It is also more likely to benefit than suffer from AI. All that helped make Walmart the first mostly bricks-and-mortar retailer to crack $1 trillion in market value early this month amid technology stock turbulence. The company's stock is also a dividend aristocrat, having increased its payout annually for more than half a century. Old-school dividend payers with lots of physical assets are back in fashion in today's uncertain environment. This isn't the first time that investors in a roaring bull market have discovered Walmart's charms. They did back in the late 1999, too. Back then, it was seen as a good counterweight to tech and fairly Amazon-proof to boot. E-commerce, not AI, was the emerging technological threat. The stock has risen 500% in 3 years, sending its valuation to nosebleed territory at nearly 23 times debt-adjusted market value to earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. On Friday, the stock finally broke above that 23 times multiple, according to FactSet. That now makes Walmart stock more expensive than Microsoft, Amazon, Meta Platforms, and many other technology high flyers, not to mention fellow retailers on that widely watched measure of cash flow. The last time Walmart stock got this rich, its business kept on rolling. By 2010, the company's sales had nearly tripled, and earnings were much higher. But its share price? About one-fifth lower 11 years later. Anxious tech investors' reasons for rediscovering Walmart are similar. Unfortunately, they're too late for everyday low prices. George.
Home builder sentiment weakens. It's written by Ed Frankel. Confidence among U.S. home builders inched lower this month, and affordability challenges persisted. The National Association of Home Builders' latest report released Tuesday showed that the NAHB, Wells Fargo Housing Market Index, a gauge of builder confidence in the market for newly built single-family housing, was 36 in February, down from 37 in January. Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal expected a higher reading of 38. The decline takes the index further below the threshold of 50 between builders' perceptions of good conditions and poor ones. The index was last weaker in December and September. Persistent affordability challenges, including high price housing price-to-income ratios and elevated land and construction costs, helped push builder confidence lower for the second straight month to start the year, the NAHB said. The survey showed 36% of builders cut prices in February, down from 40% in January, the lowest incident since May. The average price reduction was 6%, and use of sales incentives was 65%, both at the same level as January, it said. Builders reduced their expectations for future sales as buyers report affordability challenges, which is contributing to declining consumer confidence for the overall economy. NAHB Chairman Buddy Hughes said, while the majority of builders continue to deploy buyer incentives, including price cuts, many prospective buyers remain on the sidelines. The index gauging current sales conditions held steady at 41. That measuring future sales fell 3 points to 46, while the gauge charting traffic of prospective buyers fell 2 points to 22, the survey said. On the positive side, easing inflation should continue to allow lower interest rates for mortgages and builder loans, said NAHB Chief Economist Robert Dietz. Steve.
And from the opinion pages of today's Wall Street Journal, the UAW Southern Strategy. United Auto Workers President Sean Fain is celebrating the union's new collective bargaining agreement at Volkswagen's plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as he tries to build momentum to organize foreign auto workers. The deal is a big win for the union, but it's a big gamble for workers. The UAW has sought to organize foreign-owned auto plants in the South for decades with little success, but it notched a major victory 2 years ago in Chattanooga, despite workers there having previously rejected the union twice. Mr. Fain prevailed by advertising the rich contracts the UAW had recently reached with Detroit's Big Three car makers. VW has also agreed not to oppose the union, perhaps to curry favor with its Biden overlords doling out electric vehicle subsidies. Chattanooga workers this week will vote on what Mr. Fain calls a life-changing first agreement. There's no question, the deal does look sweet in the short term. It includes a 20% wage increase over 4 years, a $4,000 ratification bonus, and a $2,550 annual lump sum payment. The deal begins to close the gap with industry standards, the UAW says. This is an acknowledgement that the deal's wages and benefits fall short of what other auto workers receive. The top rate will rise to $34 an hour, which is less than the roughly $39 an hour that the highest paid General Motors and non-unionized Mercedes workers make. In late 2023, Hyundai said it would raise its top wage by 33% by 2028 to about $42 an hour. While the deal's bonuses and lump sum payments are sizable, they fall far short of the profit sharing that workers at Detroit's Big Three, Mercedes, and some other foreign auto plants receive. The Mercedes comparison is especially relevant, since Mr. Fain is set on organizing its Alabama plant, where workers rejected the union in 2024. His goal is to talk up the VW agreement to cajole workers at Mercedes and other foreign plants into unionizing. But the biggest winner in Chattanooga is the union. VW agreed to pay 34 employees to work full-time as union representatives at the plant rather than on making vehicles. Workers will have to pay a minimum of 1.4% of their paychecks in dues. The UAW can use this money to fund its organizing campaigns and left-wing advocacy, including on college campuses. Academic workers, including graduate students, make up about a quarter of UAW's members. The UAW's college chapters help spearhead anti-Israeli protests. A big risk for Chattanooga workers is that the 250-page deal could make Volkswagen less efficient and competitive. The deal would let the union micromanage work at the plant. It gives the union a say in equipment and process design development, modifications, and repurposing, and requires breaks at least every 2.5 hours. It also establishes a company-funded diversity, equity, and inclusion committee to ensure inclusive behavior. The UAW has lost more than 1 million members since its heyday in the 70s because its labor agreements made Detroit less competitive vis-a-vis foreign manufacturers. Some workers at the Chattanooga plant are seeking to decertify the union. Maybe they realize their jobs depend on VW's success, not Mr. Fain's. George.
I want to make sure we got this article in today, Steve, because it may be the most important one that we read all morning. So, judge backs chain on using the term, quote, boneless wings.
Yeah.
It's written by Alyssa Luckpat. At Buffalo Wild Wings, a boneless chicken wing doesn't need to come from a wing, a judge ruled. Judge John Tharp, Jr. in Illinois' Northern District, denied a customer victory Tuesday in his quest to hold the chain accountable for describing chicken breast pieces as wings. Ayman Halim had sued Buffalo Wild Wings in 2023 for misleading him about its boneless wings and demanded about $10 million in damages. That's a lot of wings. The judge said Halim's claim had, quote, the line of the day, no meat on its bones. A reasonable consumer would not think that Buffalo Wild Wings boneless wings were truly deboned chicken wings reconstituted into some sort of Franken wing, like Frankenstein. Franken wing, Tharp said. He said the chain can sell boneless wings even though they are essentially chicken nuggets. Halim wanted the judge to order Buffalo Wild Wings to rename its boneless wings to something like chicken poppers. He said he wouldn't have bought the product if he knew they weren't wings, causing him financial harm. He claimed the company violated Illinois' Consumer Fraud Act and was unjustly enriching itself. Words can have multiple meanings, Tharp said in a 10-page opinion. Halim sued Buffalo Wild Wings months after dining on wings that weren't actually deboned. He previously sued the makers of Hefty recycling bags and Kind granola over deceptive wording and lost in court. Lawyers for Halim and Buffalo Wild Wings didn't return requests for comment Tuesday. Tharp denied Halim's effort to gain class action status. Chicken wings are generally more expensive than chicken breast meat, which has become more available as chickens have gotten bigger. Georgia-based Buffalo Wild Wings argued that Halim didn't prove he sustained a concrete injury by consuming boneless wings. The company's menu currently has a handful of different wings, including bone-in and boneless, and one made of, wait for it, cauliflower. The chain describes its boneless wings as, quote, juicy, all-white chicken, lightly breaded, hand-spun in choice of sauce or dry rub. The judge said Halim had until next month to amend his lawsuit. Still, Tharp said it is difficult to imagine that Halim can provide additional facts about his experience that would demonstrate that Buffalo Wild Wings is committing a deceptive act by calling its nuggets boneless wings. Oof, there you go.
Thank goodness.
Another step forward for American justice.
Danaher inks $10 billion purchase. Deal for med tech company Masimo is at a 40% premium to Friday's close. Article by Lauren Thomas. Danaher has struck a deal to acquire medical device maker Masimo for almost $10 billion, the company said on Tuesday. Danaher said it will pay $180 a share for Masimo, a nearly 40% premium to Friday's closing price, confirming an earlier report by the Wall Street Journal. Masimo shares closed Friday at $130.15, giving the company a market value of almost $7 billion. Masimo, based in Irvine, California, is a global med tech company specializing in patient monitoring devices such as its pulse, oximeters, non-invasive sensors, and related software. Danaher, with a market value of over $150 billion, makes a range of products used for devices in biotech, life sciences, and diagnostics. Masimo was the target of activist investor Politan Capital Management, which revealed a big stake in the company in 2022 and began pushing for changes. Politan ran proxy fights at Masimo in 2023 and 2024, winning shareholder support in both instances. Masimo shares are up over 60% since Politan won board representation in September 2024. Last May, Masimo announced the sale of its Sound United speaker business to Herman International for roughly $350 million. The exit unwound a transaction that befuddled shareholders and led to a steep sell-off in Masimo shares. George.
Meta to buy NVIDIA chips for AI needs. It's written by Robbie Whalen. Meta Platforms is expanding its relationship with NVIDIA in a new deal that will see the social media company purchase tens of billions of dollars worth of chips and other hardware for its artificial intelligence needs. Meta plans to use millions of NVIDIA's Blackwell and Rubin GPUs and a, quote, significant deployment of NVIDIA's Grace and Vera CPUs to build out its data centers, the company said Tuesday. Although Meta has been a customer of NVIDIA for more than a decade, the new initiative is expected to more closely tie Meta, one of the biggest developers of AI models, to NVIDIA's hardware and software ecosystem. NVIDIA plans to help Meta use AI tools to improve its WhatsApp messaging service and ensure confidentiality on the app, and the company said Tuesday that NVIDIA will co-design Meta's next generation of AI models. Thanks so much for listening. Please be sure to join us all again tomorrow for another edition of the Wall Street Journal. Have a great day.